Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And really, part of it is in this chaotic world full of machine learning and all these changes, creativity and curiosity. Those are the things that students will need to thrive in that uncertain world. Those are the things that machines cannot do well. So on this podcast, I interview experts, I share strategies, I tell stories, I talk about my big epic fails I've made along the way. And I do this because I truly believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And before we get started, I'm gonna tell you about two things that are coming up. Number one, my next guest on this podcast, I mentioned that I talk to experts, is Carl Azus. He was the host and creator of CNN 10, or before that, CNN Student News. And he has a great new thing called The World from A to Z. I've really loved his work. And we talked about, when I interviewed him just this last Friday, we talked about information literacy, critical thinking, and what it means to prepare students to be critical thinking citizens in this new media landscape. And I'm really excited about it. The other thing I want to tell you about is my book that's coming out on July 3rd called New Teacher Mindset. It's for anyone who is new to teaching, but also wants to take a fresh take on teaching, who wants to try creative, innovative strategies. I genuinely believe that we are all new teachers every year, because we have a new context, a new group of students, and new opportunities. So check it out. It's called New Teacher Mindset. It's available on Amazon or pretty much wherever you get books. So without further ado, let's talk about today's topic, which is creative momentum. Now, we often hear about the need to develop creative habits, but habits alone can lead to stagnation. You end up flatlining. And so what we're going to talk about is something different. We're going to talk about this idea of creative momentum. And I want to recognize ahead of time that creative habits are not bad. In fact, creative habits are very hard to develop. It can be frustrating when you're starting out in any kind of new creative habit. Sometimes it's the tyranny of the urgent that gets in the way. We have pressing demands that call upon our attention. For me, it's grading. I'm teaching 4 different courses this summer. I'm doing a lot of workshops and keynotes. So it's very easy for me to not do my creative work. And the creative work in particular that I'm really focused on right now is doing fiction and drawing. Those two pieces I'm really into. And I do that pretty much every summer. That's my focus. And I share that as a quick aside, that we think about strategies like Genius Hour as being things that students need, but I really think that those are things that teachers need as well. So if you're doing a Genius Hour this summer, we really want to engage in this process of creative momentum, experience it for ourselves, and then use that as a way to help students build creative momentum. I think, you know, when you engage in creative work, it can feel like a personal thing, and it is. It can feel like you're doing it for yourself, which is truly the purpose, and you ought to be doing that. But it does also allow you to empathize with students in their creative work. And I would argue it functions as its own form of professional development. So sometimes, though, you hit a wall where you're like, there's too many tasks to do, too many things I need to finish. I'm doing a home improvement project. I've got a family vacation, this. It becomes very easy not to engage in creative work. But other times it's fear or insecurity. There's that tiny voice telling you that your work isn't good enough or that you're wasting your time. At least that's the tiny voice that speaks to me. You feel like you don't know what you're doing, and you're constantly asking yourself if you're doing it the right way. A dominant question is, am I good enough? And often the answer is not yet, which can feel like not yet and maybe never. That's the scariest side of it, that second side. It feels like I'm never going to reach that level. Things feel slower. You haven't hit a place of creative fluency or any kind of flow. You can spend hours getting lost in a single task and doing it the wrong way. There's so many different mistakes. Everything seems difficult. The quality isn't there. And in those moments, it feels frustrating. Everything takes a long time. Progress seems painfully slow. You don't have the capacity or the stamina. And it's painful. It's confusing. And in certain moments, you get up to do the creative work, or you head out to do the creative work, whatever it is, and you just don't feel inspired. But actually, I think it's really important to recognize that we should be engaging in this whether we feel inspired or not. Because creative momentum is recognizing that just getting started and then improving on that and starting small and getting bigger is truly what will, over time, lead to better creative work. And that it's okay to start out at a lower level and build up to get better. It's not simply about habits, it's about momentum. Now, if you're curious about creative habits versus creative momentum, I will say if you check out SpencerVideos.com, that's my YouTube channel, you can find a sketch video that I just created on this very topic. I'm super excited about it. Go check it out. It might be something that spells it out in about 2 minutes, and it's something that you can use with your students as well. So when it comes to creative habits and creative momentum, I want to share with you my writing ritual. When I sit down to write, this is what I do. I turn on the Wi-Fi. I read a note to myself, set a timer, light a candle, but there's a purpose to this ritual. This ritual is a daily habit, but it's more than that. It's a chance to build momentum. What I'm doing in just this early phase is I'm creating early wins that build momentum so that I can face that blinking cursor and start writing. I imagine it like one of those old school gas-powered lawnmowers, which I'm sure are horrible for the environment, but you pull that rope, right? At least I did growing up in rural California. I'd pull that rope and the engine wouldn't go, and I'd pull it repeatedly and it wouldn't go. And although it feels like nothing is happening, eventually the engine turns over, and it's slow at first. It doesn't look impressive, but you can then move it up a gear and you do the throttle, I think it's called. I'm not really sure. And suddenly you're mowing a lawn and you just keep going, and then you've got this momentum that's propelling you forward. And I think that that's what this initial ritual is like for me. It's creating that initial push that propels me toward my habit. See, creative habits are really important. Habits help us move into a place of automaticity. I love how Charles Duhigg puts it in The Power of Habit. Champions don't do extraordinary things. They do ordinary things, but they do them without thinking too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits they've learned. But habits alone aren't enough to keep going. There's an inherent flaw in the automaticity of habit. We shift to a place of stagnation. We end up like that band that creates the fourth album that sounds like an absolute retread of the previous three albums. We can get risk averse, not just out of fear, but out of a sense of complacency. We hit a plateau and we coast on that plateau. And meanwhile, we shift into a place where we work so quickly that we actually end up making a lot of mistakes. And this is why, as a classroom teacher, I changed from social studies to self-contained to a coaching role and ultimately to photojournalism and STEM, and then to a place where I was a college professor. I needed for myself to have new challenges to avoid the complacency of automaticity. So if we think about it this way, we can imagine your skills as being stagnant over time. And that's the way that, in general, habits work. Or we could say, maybe instead of skills, we'll call them performance over time. And you need it. You actually need this flat line. But that's not enough. To reach the next level, you also need to improve your craft. You need to learn and grow. You need to seek out new opportunities. You need to find new inspiration. And this is why it's important to have skill development. But skill development alone isn't enough, because without habit, it'll be chaotic, with skills rising and falling due to the lack of practice and consistency. What we need is for skills to improve over time. And what that requires is a combination of habits and continual improvement. When you experience creative momentum, you take your craft to the next level by combining those two together. You focus on the creative process, but also you're cognizant of the end result and the final product. And this idea of creative momentum, it takes things to a place where you are going to grow exponentially rather than just experiencing a flat line. So again, what does this mean? Well, it means that you combine daily routines to guarantee that you're putting in the work, but you also reflect on your learning and discover new approaches. You figure out best practices, but you also seek out new opportunities for inspiration. You lean into muscle memory, but you also find new ways of doing things, and you try new skills that move you outside the comfort zone so that you can actually innovate. You focus on quantity and quality. You focus on best practices and next practices. So what does this mean? What does this look like? Well, there's a couple of thoughts that I have. The first is that we can gamify your creative process. If you think about things like exercise apps and fitness organizations, they found that there's a lot of success in helping people develop fitness habits by using elements of gamification. Think of it this way. Video games are designed to be habitual. Whether you're playing a single game on your phone or a complex, really hard world-building game that you play on a console, whatever it is, video games draw us in, and this is by design. Game designers have crafted user experiences to make gameplay habitual. And it's not just game developers. Social media apps do this with notifications and badges and metrics. And so we can do the same kind of thing. We can design our creative momentum in a way that mirrors gamification. So what does that mean? We can make it easy to start, right? If we think about it this way, games work because the barrier of entry is low. So simply, in developing these creative habits, instead of saying, I'm going to write 1,500 words a day, you say, I'm going to write 100 words a day for the first week, and you stick with that habit. Then you move it up to 200, 300, maybe the next time it's 500, then 750, and eventually you're at 1,000 words a day. And what you're doing is you're designing it to be this buildup where not only are you building a habit, but you're combining habit with continual improvement so that you don't flatline on the quantity side of things. I love the idea of adding to this an upper limit and a lower limit. So you say, for example, I'm going to do this amount, say at least 300 words a day in writing, but my goal is going to be 1,500 words a day, so that you can allow yourself to keep things like a writing streak. The next idea is to create a ritual. Video games work because they have this ritualistic element. And I think the same thing can work in our creative habits. And as we build creative momentum, you can do things like, I use obviously the candle and light a candle, and that becomes my writing candle. I have a friend though who has a necklace. It's a lei from Hawaii, and he uses it every time he starts writing. I have another friend, and she uses this painting playlist, and the playlist itself becomes a soundtrack that gets her into the ritual. As you improve, you can start increasing the challenge incrementally. And so not only are you going for the notion of, improving your output and doing more each day, you actually start challenging yourself to do harder work. So if you're painting, you're going to take on more challenging works of art. If you're writing, You're going to do some more challenging elements of writing that push you to be a better writer, and so on and so forth. As you go, you can track your progress, and you might have a progress bar, tally marks, some kind of thing that shows you how much you have accomplished in a given set of time. And then you can use visual cues, just like on games. You have notifications, you have visuals. You can do the same thing. You can keep some kind of a visual, some kind of a tally mark. You can create visual cues that remind you to engage in your creative work. You can set notifications in terms of timers on the phone. But what you're doing is you're making it experiential. And so you're having sounds that cue you in, you're having visuals that cue you in, and you're using those cues to move you into the automaticity while you also at the same time think about how to get better. All right, so what does this mean though for schools? I think here's the element. If we think about it with students and with schools, if we want students to grow into creative thinkers, they need to hit a state of creative fluency. Creative work can't be a culminating activity or a fun project once the real work of school is done. It has to be something that we spend some time doing in our classrooms. Teachers can't control things like the bell schedule or a packed curriculum map, but they can infuse their unit plans with creative thinking. It might be project-based learning, design thinking. It might be something like a short inquiry sprint. And we as educators can incorporate these creative thinking ideas into our lessons if we're willing to reimagine our lessons and units to provide as many creative thinking opportunities as possible. So we can design our lessons to incorporate this notion of creative momentum. So I'm going to give you an example of what this looks like. When my students did their NaNoWriMo projects, where they had to write a novel over the course of November, they actually started planning in October. And we did several short stories connected to the novels they would write. We planned out our tension and suspense. We did character sketches. And then we actually cheated a little bit. We started in October with, 200 words a day and then 400 words a day and so on and so forth. So that what happened was students began on November 1st on day one with momentum. They began with 4,000 words written already. And this created the sense of momentum going into their project. I get it. Creative momentum is tough. Like, we have tight curriculum maps. We have time deadlines. Sometimes you don't have the best resources. But I think we can find small ways to help students engage in that creative momentum and learn creative momentum as a mindset. So with that in mind, I want to add one last thing. If creative momentum sounds interesting to you, but you're like, I don't know where to get started with this, I don't know what this looks like, I want to tell you about a 40-day challenge. So here's a little bit about it. A few years ago, I had this conversation with my friend Matt Miller. He's a graphic designer and an educator. I love the way he thinks about the creative process. And we were in the midst of COVID at the time. And we noticed that some people had been incredibly creative during the pandemic, while others began a creative project or habit, but then it faded. And so we talked about this idea of creative momentum, and we landed on the notion of a journal. And the journal is there to facilitate this 40-day process. The way the journal works is that there is a space for writing notes, goal setting, a creative corner to build momentum to get you started. There's some initial stuff about rituals, like I mentioned before. It's a highly visual journal. There's a space for doing consecutive days, project progress, where you fill in a project bar. And there are things like field trips that you can go on for inspiration that we've added to it. The whole goal is whatever type of creative work you're doing this summer, that you can spend 40 days and actually get that creative work done. Now, it could be 8 weeks over the course of the summer, or it can be 40 straight days, whatever it may be. It's up to you, right? And so the notion of this is really, it's not meant for students. It's meant for you. It's meant for educators. It's meant for anyone who wants to have their own personal genius hour over the course of the summer and engage in that creative work. There is a digital version. There's also a physical version that you can purchase on Amazon. And I would love to have you check it out. So check out that Creative Momentum Journal. If you don't need that and you feel like you've nailed creative momentum, that is fantastic too. And I would encourage you to ask yourself the question, how am I developing creative momentum in my students so that they don't flame out? How am I helping them develop that idea of creative momentum as a habit and a process and a mindset themselves so that they are able to engage in creative work in this volatile, unpredictable world? Hey, thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or Google or I think Amazon as well, wherever you are listening to this podcast on? Would you leave a review? That would mean the world to me. Would you also subscribe to it if you have not subscribed? And tell a friend about it. Word of mouth is still one of the best ways to let people know about this podcast. Again, thank you so much for listening on this sunny summer day. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.